opportunity to drop something, pen. Opportunity to baptize Sister Crawford. They've been faithful in attendance here for many years, and I'm glad that the Lord led her to become a member of the church. And I'm expecting her to be a great blessing to our church, and we hope that we can be a blessing to her as well. I guess a lot of things I could say, but I won't take the time to do that today. I've been trying to preach now since 1957. Preached my first sermon on November the 23rd, 1957. And this is the first time that I have administered the ordinances, both of the ordinances, in the same service. I understand, though, that at least once previously, Brother Miller did that while he was here as pastor. And so I'm sure it's been done many times, but it was a unique experience for me. Thankful to the Lord for the privilege. I'm glad you're all here. I know Brother Jackson gave you a warm welcome, and your presence means so very much to our church. And also, I want to say to those who are watching by Facebook, we appreciate you being with us today, and we desire an interest in your prayers. Now, we're going to move forward now to the second ordinance that the Lord delivered unto his church. And I'll just read from the book of Luke, chapter 22, beginning at verse 19. And it says, "And he," that is Jesus, "took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it unto them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.' Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.' But behold, the hand of him that betrayed me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to inquire among themselves, which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doeth service. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now that's a rather lengthy reading, but I felt like reading those verses today. One thing I wanted to point out, Jesus said that the kings of the Gentiles exercise authority and lordship over those that are under them. And they exercise, that they that exercise the authority are called benefactors. But Jesus said, "Ye shall not be so. He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that serveth." Now the next verse is the one I really wanted to get to. "For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth." I want to use as my thought for today, just for a short time, "He did it all for me." The observance of the Lord's service, the Lord's Supper, is a memorial. It is designed to help us to remember what the Lord Jesus did for us. He came to this world. He said not to be served, but to serve. And Jesus, his life was very brief according to the standards of life. Jesus was only about 33 and a half years old when he died. And his life was taken from him. At the same time, he gave his life. He was arrested according to the laws of the land at that time. He was put on trial. And though the trial was a mockery, yet he was condemned. And he was sentenced to death. And his death on the cross of Calvary was for you and me. He died in our stead. Jesus, he knew no sin. And if had he not taken our sins upon him, he would not have died. You see, Jesus was with the Father from eternity. He was in the bosom of the Father. And he laid aside, this is what Paul said in the Philippian letter concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he made himself of no reputation, but he took upon himself the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the likeness of men, he humbled himself. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Bible continues, and he said, it says that for this reason, because he humbled himself and died in our place on the cross of Calvary, he was highly exalted. And he is given a name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so Jesus, though he humbled himself, he voluntarily came to this world. Now we understand a little about love, I guess. The affection that we feel for our husbands and our wives and our children, you know. But the affection that we feel cannot be compared with the love that God had for the human family and the love that Jesus had for us. He laid aside, you know, all of the glory. He prayed to his father in the 17th chapter of the book of John. And he prayed for his disciples, those who had been chosen by him to be with him, the ones that he ordained and sent out to preach the gospel. And he prayed for them. But he said, I not only pray for these, but also I pray for all those who will believe on the Lord through them. And so, in effect, Jesus prayed for you and me. Do you know? Though we were sinners, though we were dead in trespasses and in sin, we were undeserving of eternal life. But the Lord Jesus volunteered to come and to die in our place. You know, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Somebody has to die for our sins. And if we don't come to the Lord Jesus, repent of our sins, and receive forgiveness for them, then we'll have to pay for them ourselves. But if we come to the Lord and we get saved and we trust in the Lord Jesus, then He forgives us of our sins and He imputes righteousness to us, and we're no longer in the eyes of God seen as condemned sinners. We have been forgiven. We have been cleansed from our sins. We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The sacrifice that Jesus made, the shedding of His blood. You see, we are not bathed in blood, you know, but because of the shedding of His blood and our faith in Him and then the atonement of His blood cleanses us from all of our sins. And we can go to heaven and we can enjoy all the blessings that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, I just want to talk just for a few minutes now about what Jesus did. Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. The Bible, the prophet Isaiah, he said that he was numbered with the transgressors. And so we know from reading the scriptures that Jesus, after he was condemned, he was taken to a place called Calvary. That was a place where criminals were punished, where they were crucified for their sins. He carried his own cross until he fell under the weight of that cross. He was not only God, but he was a human being as well. He had an earthly mother. He was born of a virgin, and he had a physical body, and he got weary and tired, and he, I'm sure, suffered many things. He was despised and rejected of men, and he suffered a great deal during that short lifetime that he lived here on the earth. But he was willing to do it because of the love that he had for the human family. And I started to say, the scripture says that they took him to Calvary, and there they crucified him between two thieves, sinners. They were criminals. And in fact, one of them confessed on the cross. He said, "This man has done nothing worthy of death, but you and I," talking to the other criminal, he said, "we're just getting our just reward." And so they crucified him between two thieves, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He was counted as a transgressor. so that you and I could have forgiveness of sin. Now, he was on the cross from 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And he suffered physical pain. While he was up there, he said, "I thirst." He got thirsty just like you and I get thirsty. And they offered him vinegar mingled with gall instead of getting him a good fresh glass of water. They gave him this gall mingled with vinegar, and he refused to take it. But that did not, you know, the way he was treated on the cross did not diminish the love that he had for us. Do you know he looked down from the cross and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And those people, of course, there were the Roman soldiers and there were all of the religious leaders of that day. You know, they thought they had really done something, you know. They were ridding themselves of this man called Jesus. But they didn't get rid of him. They did put him to death. The Bible said that he was on the cross, and about noonday, when the sun was at its meridian height, the Bible said that the skies became dark, black as sackcloth of ashes. And there the Lord Jesus hung on the cross in all of that pain and all of that agony. And I think there's a reason for that. You know, the Bible says that God is of purer eyes than to look upon sin. And as Jesus was making that sacrifice and shedding his blood, no one could help him. That was a prophecy in the scriptures as well. He looked for someone to help him, but there was none to help. There was no one that could atone for our sins but the perfect Son of God. He's the only one that could do it. And so he did it alone on that cross in the darkness of noonday. And Jesus, he had fellowship with his Father back in eternity. And even after he became a man, he still had fellowship with his Father. And he would, many times we have references in the scriptures to where he would steal away somewhere in a solitary place, and he would pray to his Heavenly Father. And he had communion with his Father. As he was hanging there in that misery that he was in, from a physical standpoint, he said, "Father," he said, "why hast thou forsaken me?" And that's not the only time he didn't get a reply from God. When he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was in agony and sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." As I said, he was a man, and he had human feelings. The fact that he was despised and rejected and treated as he was, you know, that was hurtful to him. And he knew what it was going to be to die on the cross of Calvary. And so the flesh drew back from that. And he said, "Let this cup pass if there's any other way." And the silence of his Heavenly Father said, "Son, there is no other way. You must pay the sin debt. If you don't pay it for them, they'll have to pay it themselves." And so the Lord Jesus, he hung on that cross, and about 3 o'clock in the afternoon,
The Bible said he bowed his head upon his own breast and he gave up the ghost. And now that means this. They didn't kill him. They crucified him. They treated him awful. They beat him. They scourged him. They said all these nasty, ugly things about him. But that didn't kill him. You know, when the time came, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he handed his life into the hands of his heavenly Father, and his physical body became dead. So Jesus did all of this for you and for me. He is not willing for anyone to perish. That kind of love is just beyond our comprehension, you know. But he was willing to do it. And he died that we might live. He died that we might have forgiveness of our sins. Now the Bible says this, and I'm going to close just in a moment. But the Bible says this in 1 John chapter 2. He said, "Little children, these things write I unto thee, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father," that is, one who represents us, "an advocate with the Father." He identified who he was, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, and that means he is the atoning sacrifice. Not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Now, it was God's plan from the very beginning that Jesus die for our sins. So as the time drew near, it was just 1 week away. It was a week before the Passover. And Jesus met with his disciples. And they observed the Passover meal. And Jesus said, "With great desire, I have desired to eat this meal with you." It was the last official Passover meal. Because since the deliverance from Egypt, every year they had commemorated that event, that deliverance, by eating the Passover meal. And that was going to be the last one before he suffered. That's what he said. "This last supper before I suffer," he said. And so they ate the Passover meal. And then Jesus entered and instituted the Lord's Supper. And the Bible said that he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This bread is my body," or represents my body. It was bread, it wasn't flesh. And he said, "This bread represents my body, which is broken for you." You're talking about being broken. I've just mentioned a few of the things that he did for you and me. But his body was broken. And he said, "This is my body." And he said, "Eat ye," you know. And he passed the bread to them. And they ate. And then he took the cup. It had the fruit of the vine in it. And he said, "This cup represents my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins." And you know, there's a passage of scripture in the book of Hebrews says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." And he said that the blood of bulls and goats and heifers that were offered under the Mosaic economy, they never took away a sin. Not one. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse us from our sins. And he said, this cup represents my blood, which is I'm shedding for you. And he gave it to them and said, drink ye all of it or participate in this. And he said, this do in remembrance of me. And Paul, when he wrote to the church at Corinth, the 11th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which ye also received, how that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it and gave it to them. And then he took the cup and he blessed it and he gave it to them. And he said to them and to us, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth my death until I come, or his death until he comes. And so today we're going to remember what Jesus done for us. I hope this little effort has helped you to go back down the lane of life to the time and the place when you met Jesus. And I hope it'll help you to love him even more than you've ever loved him before. Because Jesus sacrificed everything that we could have forgiveness of sin, could have a home in heaven when we die, and also so we could be instrumental in helping other people find the Lord. And that part is very important also. So at this time, now we, Dr. Collins, he told me to make this announcement, and so I will. He had ordered prepackaged bread and wine for us to use.